You are listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Brand new episode of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Freezing Fun Uncle Brandon. Garage cold now.
And your Fun Uncle Cooney.
Whoop whoop.
The classic.
Rudy hoop.
That's still a fucking no limit thing to me.
What the hoody hoop?
Yeah. So we just watched UFC, whatever fucking number it was.
George and Cobb?
Yeah, not a very exciting main event, but, I mean, with the styles, you know, I think that's kind of how everybody saw it. Yeah, you want to see fucking Kobe get his fucking face smashed, but...
Why Kobe get his face smashed? Because the story?
No, just because he's fucking annoying.
Is he?
Yeah.
They're both fucking annoying.
But I think this is how any normal thinking fan knew how it was going
to
turn out.
If you had to bet what Kobe was going to do to win, he did exactly that.
Yeah. He did call out Dustin Poirier.
That's fun. Well, he said he's going to take out that whole fucking little chunk of ATT, right? I mean, Dustin does work with them.
Does that fight excite you, though?
Anything with Dustin's fun because he's down for the crime. You know what I mean? Like any of those guys that have that, like, I always talk about it like that Chuck Liddell mentality. Like, yeah, I'll fucking fight that guy. Like, those guys make me happy, you know?
Yeah.
And Dustin's one of those fellas. They showed the little flash for the card, and I got so excited to see Justin's getting a shot against fucking Chuck, Charles Olivier, or
Oliveira.
Oliveira. He's getting a fucking fight with Gaethje.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. If you're Dustin, though, is that like fighting Colby Covington, is that a step back? Because you're at the top of that fucking division.
Not if he kicks your ass, it's not a step back. But do you know what I mean? Like, I get it, but it's like...
Like fighting somebody who's coming into like a new division... You know, hasn't fought anybody, like, yeah, that's a fight you make if you're a matchmaker, because that's going to get some eyes. But if you're Dustin, is it worth it? Because that's a pretty high-risk matchup.
That's what I mean. When it's like, oh, is he, like, reaching too low? It's like, well, yeah, not if he gets fucking laid out. It's like, well, I guess he didn't reach low enough because the guy fucked him up.
No, when I said step back, I mean, like, he's at the top of that division. Like, he should be getting a rematch against Charles, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, like, isn't that, like, a clause? Like, you lost your belt. Fucking... You get your rematch.
Yeah, I guess. It wasn't that... I don't know what Dustin's going to do different.
Yeah.
You know?
But...
I like to lose one fight, win, then you get... You know what I mean? Like, it just makes, like, math sense to me, where it's like, yeah, you just lost. Now get a fucking win in.
Yeah, now it's... Earn it again.
Yeah, get your fucking belt back, man. I always like that. I loved fucking Bellator when it first came out. That whole fucking tournament style that they had. Like, that shit was cool. Yeah. I love all that.
Grand Prix or whatever.
That's to earn it, son. That was always fun.
Brian, anything on fucking boring-ass boxing? No? Okay.
Boring-ass UFC? No.
Before you got there, we saw some fucking great fights. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The card was good. We said it before it started. I was like, bro, I'm excited. That fucking Arkansas kid is fucking always fucking fun. He looked badass, better than he ever did. Edson hasn't been super sick lately.
That Dos Anjos fight was good.
Yeah. That shit is cool. That was a good little card. It's the last fight was like,
I was just,
every round's going to be like this. Once you see that kind of like that grappler that's obviously fucking way better, you're like, okay, so we said it at the beginning of the third round. I was like, so George has fucking a minute of the first minute of every round to figure out a way to not fucking get put on his ass because Colby's going to get that takedown.
Yeah, but the thing about Colby is like, he's not a land prey guy. Like, he's going to take you down, and he's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the classic difference when people talk about that kind of land prey style. The two, like, fighters that come up that I always point out to show the difference between here's an active fucking ass-whipping and here's a land prey is always Fitch and GSP.
Yeah.
That was always the example when we were, like, younger. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. Fitch was, like, the guy who'd take you down and just kind of stay heavy on top.
Yep.
And, you know, dominate a position, but not, like, kick your ass. Like, when George was on top, dude, he'd kind of fuck you up. And the dude had a fucking pretty active top. Kobe doesn't let you sit there and figure it out. Like, he puts it on you. We said before the thing, everyone wanted George. And I'm like, dude, Kobe's probably going to fuck him up. I think we said it, might even said it on the podcast. Like, there's a good chance Kobe beats his ass.
Yeah.
And it's, like, precisely what happened. You do the fucking bro math on that with fucking Damian Maya. Like, Damian Maya fucking kind of beat George's ass. And Colby beat the shit out of Damian. So it's like, yep. Hey, you know, the bro math isn't always 100%. But when you watch those two, it's like, nah. Even their Usman fights. It's like, yeah, if you watch their common fucking little ass whippings, then, yeah, Colby's going to win. Which sucks for the story because, you know, if that shit is true about him punking the fucking
coaches,
the striking coaches over no bread, then, yeah, you kind of want him to get his little ass kicked. But I still think the whole thing's a work. Anything fucking Lambert's involved in is bullshit.
Right.
It's fucking fake, dude. That whole fucking road to UFC fucking show that they do. What's it called?
Not Countdown.
Yeah.
Embedded.
The vlogs or whatever.
Yeah.
All that shit is fucking fake. I was like, nah, son. Too much Lambert involved. Right. Did you watch any of that, Brian? You fucking AEW, Mark? You didn't. That's why you don't care about the fights. You don't watch the promotions.
No, I didn't.
Brian, I got a question for you.
What's up? Shoot.
What do people misunderstand about you the most?
Fucking hell, what bro. This podcast is only an hour.
Right? my sense of humor.
What do you mean?
Like I can come off like, sometimes I can come off like homophobic or you know, I could say a lot of things that come off a certain way, you know, but I don't really mean it. I just kind of say it. Well, like,
stop calling people fags.
He's like, I'm 90s stand-up. I'm 90s stand-up. He wants that.
Like, cause
like the old South racist. Like I'm just old South. It's like, it doesn't mean you're not a piece of shit.
No, I grew up loving comedy. Like comedy was my thing. I remember like comedy and hip hop were my two things, but I always kind of kept comedy like a secret to myself. Like I would always I bought all the comedy albums and stuff, you know, like I studied comedy, like I studied hip hop, you know? I just think that
so this new era of cleaned up.
Yeah, my sense of humor is just, I think a lot of people don't get it.
You're a throwback, bro. You know?
And that I'm hateful. Like I'm not a hateful person. Like I'm a very, very nice person. Like
I don't know anybody who would ever meet you could walk away from him and be like, I bet you he's hateful.
I was about to say, what do you mean, five minutes
with you in the room, I'm sure they'd be like, oh, I was super wrong about that. He's just a fucking goofball.
Just because, I don't know, so I do have more of like an old school way of thinking.
Throw around the N-word a lot?
Never. Nah, I never even, like, even when I was younger and I was in, and I thought I was black, I never even said it with an A.
Are you the guy from Office Space, like, rapping out loud in your car?
Right, yeah, like, yeah. Oh,
when the brothers show up but and yeah, turns
no,
it down.
But right. Like, I'd always say dog or, you know, like, I never said, you know, and, you know, with the A in the end.
Right, never, what I up, never, nephew?
Yeah, I said, yo, what's up, dog? You know, what's up, homie? Like, you know, but I never said, what's up?
He never went the whole way.
No, I never did that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, and that's funny that you asked that question because I do feel misunderstood a lot. You know what I mean?
I think everybody does, especially now.
Like I
that should be the name of your album, The Misunderstanding of Brian Cooney.
Like, I have a
with the same Lauryn Hill art, but it's Brian. The same cover art.
I have a very, very big heart. And like
You do.
The biggest.
And I'm always looking out for other people. I think I look out for people more than I look out for myself.
I know, man. I've been telling you that Jordan Peterson fucking step, man. Take care of yourself like you're somebody you care about. Like, that shit is pretty deep. People fucking neglect themselves and what they need to do well and just take care of other people.
I'm starting to kind of do things more for myself now.
But we got to worry about number one, son.
Yeah. Well, like today, like, instead of watching the fights with you guys, I went to a battle. It was the King of the Dot. It was a Grand Prix. It was the semifinals. We find out who's in the finals, and the winner gets $100,000.
That's a big amount of money, son.
Yeah, so I went there.
I might start rapping, bro. And, talking about six figures.
And it's always in California. You know, it's always in Oakland.
Like,
it's
the finals?
It's everything. It's always in Canada. This is their first time they
have it in Nevada. You get taxed less.
This is the first time they had it in Vegas, and so, you know, like, a lot of the battle rappers, you know, that I look up to or that I really like that I see on YouTube and stuff. I finally got to meet a lot of them today, and I networked with a lot of them, and you know, I was actually sober. You know, I went there so, you know, and like.
I know, man. Your clip on the fucking Brian Callen fucking little thing, dude. I was like, why doesn't he make that much goddamn sense when he's on our fucking podcast?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, because when I did that,
were you sober for that?
I think I only had about four or five beers. I was drinking water. Like, I've made sure not to be wasted because, like, I wanted to network. So,
I'd appreciate that same consideration when you come to my house to record, bro. What the fuck?
I'm starting to do that. Like, what, like.
Talking shit about Shark Tank contestants on the couch.
So, it was real good. It was a dope ass. They had two classics tonight. Like one of them was definitely the battle of the year so far.
Is it like freestyling? Like, but real, or is it bullshit?
It's mostly written with a few freestyles mixed in, you know, for rebuttals.
A little something.
But yeah, there's one where everybody was saying that last year it would have been like top three battles of the year. I networked, met a few people, probably going to get a few of them on our show.
Good. Cause I'm ready to rip ass. Don't tell my $100,000 full. Bring them over to the fucking garage. Yeah. Dog. We'll put up the booth.
Yeah. They said that, they were going to
battle them.
I'll blow them out the booth.
They said that they were going to come back in April.
And
when they said that, I think it's going to be for the finals. I think it's going to be the one for the $100,000.
Throw me in, dog. Let's go. Not even freestyle, bro. That'll be cool.
Brandon's ready for the hot tag.
You guys will have to come, and then we'll bring a camera, and then we'll get the Fun Uncle Mike, you know, and then, you know, we could probably set up doing that. But yeah,
right, fucking stepping in Shia LaBeouf, these motherfuckers.
You know what's funny is, like, have you seen, like, those? They're like little mini mics, but they're like Bluetooth. Mm-mm. They're about like this big. They're like this big, right?
Ones that you could like clip on your shirt.
No, like you hold it, but it's just a fucking tiny mic.
That sounds no. It's
like Bluetooth.
I don't like.
Are you talking about like the ones like that? Like you that are on the earphones where like.
No, I'm talking about a fucking microphone that's this fucking big.
No one knows what you're talking hold about, like this, because it sounds dumb. It's a ridiculous idea.
But I think it's the same.
It's a fucking microphone.
You know what I'm talking about, though, on the iPhone.
Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about. I didn't say a fucking headset. It's a microphone that's this big, that's about as big as your fucking thumb.
That actually might be pretty cool.
And though, I was thinking it'd be funny if we can get a fucking tiny Fun Uncle thing to put on it.
That'd be dope. Or cut it out so that it's a thumb.
Yeah. We're fucking retarded.
Oh, I'm falling.
Yeah.
I have a question for both of you.
Ooh, okay.
Tell me about the worst place or most inconvenient time you've ever had to shit.
Right now?
I really, he's like, yeah, you're really looking at it, dog. I really gotta think you're of shit looking right now. At it. Probably the time I shit my pants on the fucking boat. Coming
in
back.
In
from,
school?
No.
Was it just like all of a sudden?
One time.
No, I was fucking, I didn't have any fucking Oxycontin for like the last 2 days of the fucking boat.
Oh, one of those shits?
Yeah, we were on like a 7-day cruise joint. And we ran out early, and this is before I knew, like, how bad it was for me. You know what I mean? Like, it was still on, like, the party side of, like, the addiction cycle before you know what kind of fucking, like, horrible position you're in. So, I, you know, it was still just happy-go-lucky fucking snorting oxy days. And then we ran out, and then after the first day of, like, not having anything, I was like, I don't feel so good. me and my man are just walking out of the cabin together, like, why does everything weigh so much? Like, everything was heavy. I was like, dude, I fucking, like, I feel like I'm going to throw shit up. Dude, like, pants. What the fuck is wrong with me? And then after, like, every hour became, like, increasingly gnarlier. Like, we spent one of the whole entire, like, Mexico stops, like, the whole little 8-hour stop. Just going to pharmacies trying to find, like, something. And it didn't work out. And
they didn't have that good shit at the Mexican pharmacies?
Nah, man. We were, I'm, like, sitting there eating muscle relax, like, nothing. You know what I mean? I was like, we were, like, ripping, full-blown, like, doing, like, sniffing half a fucking Oxy 80 per session. You know what I mean? Like, that amount, like, an over-the-counter isn't going to fucking cut it, dude. And we couldn't get a hold of anything. We're like, this is fucking Mexico, God damn it! Like,
why can't we find
it? Where's the fucking Loratabs? Like, I was like, a handful of Loratabs will get me through the day. I guarantee it.
I'll never forget this one time. It was, like, I would drink these shakes, like, in the morning. you know, just to keep my my stomach full till...
Oh, it was like a meal replacement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess this one was old. And... And come second period, I had to shit so bad, but I was like, I'm not going to the bathrooms. So I went to the car, and I went home, and then right before I opened the door, dude, it start like why is that every time you get closer to the shitter? Because
your body knows.
Your butthole gets it, bro.
Your butthole's like, oh, we're home.
Yeah, dude. So, your eyes are like, yeah, there's the toilet. And your brain's like, stomach, the toilet. And your stomach's like, you're good, asshole. Your asshole
yeah,
poop,
so
bro.
I shit my pants a little bit on the way home. It was right after first period.
Oh, dude, it was fucking magic, bro, because I had like these fucking... Like these N1 shorts, remember back in the day? Everyone was just walking around in big ass fucking basketball shorts. Yeah. So I was walking around miserable on the last day of the cruise. And when you get off of a cruise, there's like, you're in that big long ass line. It's a big fucking, like, your whole level gets to leave at, like, you know, they leave by levels. And when your floor gets called, your whole floor gets in line and fucking, like, clocks out basically. And we were just in that line, and I was like, dude, I'm fucking, like, I'm not feeling good. And it was one of those, like, just stomach hiccups and, like, an egg of poop. You know what I mean? Like, that
little egg, yeah.
Yeah, that
the
little
the first
that
one
little
before
bubble.
The liquid.
Yeah, that little bubble fucking went bloop, and I was like, oh, no. And it flopped out right between, like, my leg and my fucking, my pants.
Oh, so you were wearing boxers. You weren't wearing you weren't wearing a boxer briefs?
Nah, man. It was straight fucking boxers and big-ass fucking basketball shorts. So they skid the sides. And like, but barely. So it just like splats on the floor. And I just keep walking with the fucking line.
I didn't
even look down, bro. I didn't even fucking tell Carrie. I didn't tell the girl I was with.
Didn't want to bring any attention to it.
I didn't tell anybody, dude.
The person standing behind you is probably like,
bro, I didn't even look back for another like 40 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to no sell.
I do not
want to
make eye contact with the person that just saw me shit on the ground.
No, what? See, that's what I'm saying, though. I was like, bro. I think I got away with it. So it was just like, boom, and I just took a step, and I was like, all it takes is two more steps for this to be, like, lost to oblivion. Like, people will just see it and be like, dude, what the fuck? Yeah. But they'll never guess it was the guy 2 feet ahead of them.
Like, you didn't hear any chatter or nothing behind
nothing,
you?
Bro. And you know what? You know when you're feeling like shit, bro? Anybody who's ever done any sort of drug long enough to have, like, withdrawals, like, when you're in the upheaval – of opiate withdrawals, I wouldn't even think, if someone was like, bro, you just shit, I'd be like, so the fuck what, brother? Like, I wouldn't even have cared. You know, when you feel like bad, you just don't even give a shit. I was like, I wouldn't even have fucking cared at all if someone saw. But thinking, like, I'm almost positive, like, no one even saw. It was just a nice little,
that's fucking
a little hilarious. Handful of mud hit the fucking
what about
deck.
You, dude? I want to hear yours. I know you got one, else you wouldn't brought it up.
So I was working at a storage place in California. And so we had our office, right? It was a small, like, rectangular fucking office. And then we had the glass on the other side of that was like a lobby, and then there was a restroom. Mm. You know, restroom was for us and for the customers and shit. And people like me generally, and like occasionally you get like really cool fucking like customers. Like I had this one couple who were customers of mine. Anytime they would come by, they would always bring me food.
I love regulars.
Yeah. And one time, they called me before they were coming, and they were like, hey, we're getting Thai food before we head over there. Or we're going to eat, and then we're going to head over there. Do you want us to bring you something?
Okay.
And I was like, I don't think I've ever had Thai food. You know, I was like, yeah, just give me something that doesn't have like shrimp in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. Like something like Americanized, like something that.
No. I just, you know, obviously I know it's going to be Thai, like noodles and shit.
Right. Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. I don't like shrimp.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're like, so beef or chicken? And I was like, yeah, either one's fine.
Okay.
And I forgot what they brought me some pad Thai.
Oh, I love pad Thai.
And I don't know what it was, if it was because I'd never fucking had it, or just because maybe it was like
a dog.
Just super fucking foreign to my body, you know?
Could have been puppy.
It was, first of all, delicious, right? I eat it. You know, I'm back from my lunch, like an hour later, uh-huh. Right? Like my stomach starts rumbling, and I'm like, oh, that's... But it's, like, weird, like, you know, like I'm... Like, it's
not
just, like...
Not the hungry rumble.
It's just, it's, like burps, right? So I'm just, yeah, like, yeah. Burping, and I'm like, oh, like, ooh. And then there was this one customer who... She was in our restroom, right?
Okay.
And then it was just, all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, I need to go now. So I go out into the lobby and I'm knocking on the restroom door. I'm like, Rosie, you almost done? Because it was another fucking one of our regulars that was in the restroom.
Yeah.
And like, I could hear her talking on the phone, right? She doesn't answer me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. It's like not to the point where like I have to fucking squeeze my cheeks yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but right. I'm just like,
yeah.
I need her to hurry up. 2 minutes later, it's like, this might be an emergency. And I'm like pounding on the door like, Rosie, hurry up. You know? And she's like, I'll be out in a minute. I was like, fuck. Well, in the office, we had like a little closet like behind where the desk was. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a storage / network room. So we had some stuff stored in there. It was all of our network equipment and stuff. And that's where we also had, like, our water cooler.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck. Like, there's no cameras in there. I need to go now or I'm going to shit my pants.
Okay.
So I take the little fucking trash can that's, like, this tall that's underneath that's underneath the desk, right? And I'm not worried about wiping because, like I said, it's also used as a storage room, so there's paper towels in there.
Right.
And so I go in there, I close the door, I lock the lobby, I'd close the door. Yes. I lock the office door. I close the fucking closet door. Take off my pants and just fucking go.
Shit in the trash can.
Yeah. And it was like
fucking hilarious.
The wateriest fucking just.
Oh my god. Who cleans the trash cans? I wonder what the fuck.
We do.
Oh, so you ended up just cleaning it yourself?
Yeah.
Bro, I bag mad trash cans full. When dude takes a shower in the morning, he takes fucking 9 hours, and we only had one bathroom in that fucking apartment. There were so many morning dumps where he was already, like, in the bathroom doing his thing, and I was like, he's not going to be out for, like, a fucking hour. It happened so much where I had, like, a system set up. Like, I had a little fucking, a little beach bucket, like a little castle bucket that fucking Bobby had. That I would just lay a fucking, like a Smith's or like an Albertson's bag over and just hit the mark and then just tie it up and walk it downstairs to the big trash and toss it. So there's one time where I was coming down. Remember the little twins that lived across the hall?
Yeah.
I was coming downstairs with a bag of shit and the fucking mom walked out. She was so sweet. And she was like trying to like, hi, like, because she didn't have, like, the best English, yeah. So our little back and forth was, like, super minimal, but she put in the effort, and we were really nice to each other, and I'm, like, sitting there with, like, a human bag of shit, like, going over pleasantries with this fucking neighbor. I did that so many times in that apartment. I shit in that bucket
I got a question for you guys.
What's up?
Have you guys ever heard, or have you watched that show on Playboy?
No.
On A&E, Secrets of Playboy?
Nope.
No.
Oh my gosh, dude, like just the way the 70s compared to now is treated, bro. Like rape culture then was just bro, so 1999
fucking compared like, to in now.
In the 70s, man, it was crazy, man. Like, okay, so these chicks, they would get paid for centerfold. They got paid $15,000 over 3 years, right? Just for being a centerfold. And so they would get $5,000 to, you know, for the shoot, and then they would get $5,000 when it got published, and then they would get $5,000 a year later, you know, after it got published, right? And you were under contract as under Playboy. So the way that you would make your money in Playboy is that you would go and travel to other states, right, and do like pop-ups. And, like, sign autographs for people and things like yeah. that, right?
Life of a Playboy
buddy. And so, well, some of these girls, what they would do was they would take these girls and they would pimp them out. Like they would have, like, celebrities. Like, they would show up and, like, be, like, a celebrity's escort, you know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, at the end of the night, you know, like, pimp them out. And a lot... And a lot of the stories about Bill Cosby drugging the girls are from Playboy, are playmates and things, dude. And, dude, it's so fucking crazy the way that all that shit, like, it ruined, all these girls went in thinking that, oh, you know, I'm going to go on Playboy, I'm going to become a model. But it ruined their modeling career because no model agency would want to mess with them after they were in Playboy. You know what I mean? Like... Man, it's crazy. And then the feds, they thought that Hugh Hefner was a huge coke dealer.
I mean, he probably fucking was.
So,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe not him directly, but out of the whole network of that mechanism of Playboy, just all the reach yeah. and all the people that they knew. Like, bro, I'm sure he had something going on. And check this out.
They would take pictures of the girls nude at 17 and get their parents' permission. And then they wouldn't release those pictures until they were 18. So there were pictures of 17-year-olds naked in Playboy, but they weren't released until they were 18.
Yeah, it's like hearing like the Brooke Shields shit, like she was yeah. like a kid when she had her fucking titties out.
And how then, crazy is that?
I mean...
Well, I mean, that's on the parents.
Yeah, and then
I don't know if that's like rape culture per se. That just sounds like money and pussy culture, which
and
is
then the weirdest,
pretty American.
The weirdest thing to me about this was the Republicans. They tried to remove all the smut magazines from like all the corner stores and stuff. You know, like 7-Eleven and all that stuff. You know, and it's weird because now if like politics, it would have been the left that is that would want all this stuff removed. You know, like it's just weird how
the pendulum swings.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard like Joe Rogan talk about that before. He was like, when I was a kid, it was always like liberals and Democrats that were really opened up for like free speech rights and letting everybody have a shot at the mic and all that. And like nowadays, it's that very circle of people that are like, don't let him speak at the college. He shouldn't be allowed. It's hate speech. You know what I mean?
It's yeah, like, it's, wow, it's,
that same group 40 fucking years ago right. was like, hey, we need to let everybody get a say. Now they're like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I mean,
and it makes me feel sorry for like young kids, you know, because a lot of the young kids, you know, they come in, you know, like they all want to be famous and they all want to be rich and everything, but they're only 18. And when you think about it, like a lot of those people, you know, like when they hit like 35 years old, all that money goes away, and then you got to start working a regular job.
You can't feel sorry for them though. You have to let them learn. It's like, okay, whether they achieve it or not. Just let them do their thing. They'll either find out
mm-hmm.
that the idea that they had worked or the idea that they had just wasn't that great and, you know, see where they go from there. But, like, you can't say, like, you know, I feel bad for these young kids because blah, blah, blah. Like, nobody's going to have the lives we had as kids.
Yeah.
And that's fine because... Looking back at it, maybe like our lives weren't that great, you know, maybe a couple generations from now, kids growing up will have it better.
Well, they'll be living in the metaverse.
Maybe they won't, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't know. Like to me, it's just like whatever happens, happens. I just hope, you know, kids don't make choices that are terrible for them.
I don't think that's like a big like thing where like kids are like. When I think of what you're talking about, the first thing that comes to mind that I think is, like, the most, like, gnarly destructive is how much, like, amateur porn is out there.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, guys are just gonna, like, I feel like most guys are gonna find their wife, like, on camera with another dude someday.
Oh, man.
Like, that thing that didn't happen that much, like, it's for sure gonna happen, like, more.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Instead of, remember that, like, you always see those, like, sitcom conversations, like, how many people have you been with, and, like, that little thing. Yeah. Now the guy's gonna ask, like, hey, were you ever, like, online or anything fans, like that? And
yeah, but does it matter if it's, like...
Yes.
So...
Yes.
Yes and
yes.
No.
Yes, yes, and
no.
Yes.
If you meet your wife at 35 and it was from when she was 22.
Yeah,
it matters?
Yes.
Why? Course. Why?
What do you mean why?
Bro? Why?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, B, but yeah, dude, you're right. Like why?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, B. I get.
So the two single 40-year-olds who never had a long term, you're going to
Well, I mean, because here's the thing is because you know she's had sex with other people.
Not online in front of strangers on purpose, though. Opening that idea that your fucking wife, even if she was 22, is like, I'm going to fuck a guy on fucking film for people to see. You're just going to be like, well, she was a young kid for that.
Okay, but what if she was a stripper? Under the table? What if she was a stripper?
Well, yeah, I'm not super stoked on that, but that's, it's roughly.
But different. What if it wasn't? Oh, like, a bunch of people got to watch me. What if it was just, oh, yeah, this is just for me and my boyfriend?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
though.
Right, yeah.
That's not what I said. Every girl has fucking footage. I'm talking about girls who took footage for the reason to fucking put it on fucking line and get their fucking
So it wouldn't bother you if it was her and her old boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm not mad that my fucking wife had sex before me.
But what if it was online with her boyfriend?
That's what you just said.
Yeah, you
wouldn't be okay with like dating a chick that had an OnlyFans.
Yeah, that would be like I'm good. There's a lot of girls that don't. You know what I mean? Okay. Like that would just be one of my things. I'd be like, oh, that was a weird.
Okay,
choice.
What if you never clicked with a girl that doesn't? What if she did it, but she was solo? Like, what if she was never what if she was a solo chick? Like
how Brian's trying to rationalize it,
right?
Would that be different than her getting her dick down?
I mean, yeah, I guess, but it's still...
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot of girls who'd rather waitress first, and I want to be... If I'm going to build a fucking life and a family with a person, I'm guessing, it's probably not, like, the super coolest thing to say, but I'm guessing the better choice of female to do that with is the girl with the kind of integrity that was like, you know what? I don't want to fucking piss on fucking camera for money. I'm going to fucking do these three menial jobs. Like, but there's many of those out there.
But at the same time, what if her rationalization to herself is, I can make double the amount doing this.
She's not
so wrong. I would rather do that and make twice the money than go out and serve.
You don't think that's incredibly telling of a person, though? Like, do you know what I mean? When you're like, well, that's she decided that it was better for her to do that because it was more money.
Yeah, but I think that's a good thing then. Yeah, no, if she's out to make more money.
Totally. Go get her, dog. I'm just saying for me. That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, no, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I don't know.
There's one more thing, though, I wanted to mention about the, the fame thing and all that. Like, do you think it would be harder for somebody, or do you think depression is worse for somebody, like, say they became famous at, like, 18 or whatever, you know, and they're famous for, like, a year or two, and they made a good amount of money, but that money went away when they were 30, and they don't have any more fame, and now they have to work a regular 9-to-5.
Why would the money go away, though?
Because they're not working in the industry anymore.
So you're saying they never took that money and were smart with it?
Yeah. Okay. So now they have to go work a 9-to-5. So do you think that would be more depressing for that type of person, or more depressing for somebody, you know, that is just working a regular job their whole life, you know what I'm saying, and wanted to be famous but never got famous, just always worked, you know, like, worked a regular job, like...
Well, what are they depressed over? Like, income or just, like, the notoriety?
Just of having it and it just being gone.
I'd say the guy who had it and now doesn't probably feels the worst. It's like, you always hear about, like, it's harder to, like, have something. Like, I didn't have my own car until I was, like, fucking almost 20. And then... Before I had it, I was like, it's not that bad not having a car. You guys are tripping. Because it was just what I knew. And then you have it for a year, and then you don't have it for a week, and you're like, I don't know how I ever lived without this fucking thing. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
how'd I get anywhere?
This is crazy. Like, so, yeah, the guy who fucking had it.
So do you think it would be good to teach your nieces and nephews to just live your life and just have fun, rather than try to, like, chase fame and try to be famous and all that? Like,
we just watched that interview, you know, with fucking Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee. And Vince, who knows if he's projecting or if he's telling the honest truth about himself and his motivations, but in that interview he was talking about how he never was very concerned with, like, making a ton of money or becoming this crazy engineer of this whole fucking thing that is the WWE universe. He just wanted to keep doing what he liked.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, like, that basis of goals. There was just, like, focusing on doing his passion, and then these things start rattling off. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, when you try to frame your fucking day around these kind of, like, weird goals, not weird goals, but, like, I just think it's, like, it's a classic, like, misdirection that people do to themselves. Like, I want to do this. Like, you make, like, we have podcast goals, right? That's probably a bad way of fucking thinking about it, when all you should really do is focus on doing the podcast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think the best thing to teach our nieces and nephews is, you know, if they want to be famous or anything like that, is to teach them that have that as, like, a side goal. Like, always keep a regular job. Always keep a job. You know what I mean? And then for whatever goals you have in life, like, you know, if you want to be famous or just not work a 9-to-5, do what you have to do while working a 9-to-5.
That's what we're trying to do with the kids, is just basically put it in their mind, like, because they watch Liz make jewelry, they watch me work on my little book bullshit, and they know that's not what we do for money. They know that we go to work, you know what I mean? Like, we have regular ass 9-to-5 office jobs, and we try to show them through example, like, listen, mommy would rather do the jewelry all day. Daddy would rather write all day. But we didn't prepare our adult life properly to do what we want for money. So that's like the lesson we're trying to put them into, like, foundationally is, is to try to skip what you're talking about, where it's like, it's okay to split your time and have a passion and have a job. I want to tell them in the beginning, your passion can be your job. And if you're talking about, like, this idea of, like, fame being, like, a fucking deterrent or, like, something that might be overall negative.
That's just the word that, that's just the first word that I could find.
No, no, no. It just reminded me of something that I heard a dad do at Bobby's dance class. You know, they all the kids go into the little dance room and the parents sit by that fucking double window or that two-way mirror and they watch the class. And there's, you know, you get into a rhythm with these parents. You guys have the same class date, so you guys kind of become, like, friends with these other parents in the room. And we were talking about this sort of thing, and he said something super brilliant that I totally ripped off from him, because his daughter was a little older and said, Daddy, I want to be famous, and talking, you know, talking like you're talking, like, I want to be on YouTube, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be famous. And he grabbed her real quick and said, baby, do you want to be famous, or do you want to be important? Because those two things are different, and you should probably work on being important before you work on being famous. And just that kind of distinction was, like, pretty brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, fuck being, dude, you can be famous for fucking nothing nowadays. Like, you can be a big, but then you see the money and you're like, yeah, but that fool got all the bread. And it's like, see, you guys are already fucking, your orientation, in my opinion, is already fucked up.
Well, see, that's what brings me,
because the bread is the end all be all.
See, that's
who cares if he's fucking famous for farting on TikTok? He's got money though. Yeah. He's got money though.
But that's like, what cool. that's what brings you back to my point. That's fulfilling though.
It's fucking ridiculous.
That's what brings you to my point in the very beginning. Is they're 18, 19 right now, but when they hit 30, this TikTok shit isn't going to be happening. These people on TikTok making all these millions, in 10 years, they're going to be irrelevant. Like, no, like, there might be like two there'll or be three another people.
Another platform. With
yeah, there'll other be like two stars. Or three people that get remembered, but all the rest of the people, they won't. Like, they're probably going to be the ones, if they don't invest right, that are 30 years old looking for a 9-to-5.
Well, you know the, like, I always like, try and understand what people say when they're like, oh, I want to be famous. Like, what do you mean? Do you want, like, do you want to play basketball? Do you want to play guitar? Like,
right. Like
what do you mean? Because Brandon said, like, you can be famous over the dumbest shit. Like, you can be going up the fucking escalator and get your fucking, you know, like, your pants caught in the fucking thing and your pants get ripped off.
And now who made you
famous? Yeah, and now you're all viral, over the fucking famous. Internet. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Dad, I'm famous. I did it.
Right?
Wow, okay. That's where we're at.
Right? So I thought you were going to be president, son, but okay.
Fucking hell.
I think there needs to be passion behind what you want. Like, I don't think fame should be the main goal. I think passion needs to be the main goal. And I don't think you should, you know, you should strive for a certain amount of money.
Well, the problem is, like, but people, like Brandon said, like, they want to go, they think they can just go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And achieve fame the easy way.
Right.
Whereas most famous people have had to work for it.
Exactly, yeah.
That's changing, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
the death of the specialty, bro. Like, no one's, I mean, you see it with, like, the beginning and, like, how, like, American Idol, how half that fucking show is full of, like, hot garbage. Well, like, it's always the first fucking few episodes that are always so funny.
Well, they're
like,
doing people it to make fun, like, of the people. Yeah,
they're a lot not, of those are actors, dude, though. They're not doing anything to make anybody anything, bro.
But a lot of those people are actors.
I don't believe that, dude. I think they are real people with no one in the house that's
every
like, hey,
single one of those you're people.
Fucking not good at this, and no one told them.
Right. Every single one of those people, dude, they definitely have some actors on there, bro. They definitely have some comedians.
I don't think so.
I guarantee it. It's a TV show, dog.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not discounting it. I just don't think that's the case. I think there really are just people that have this weird, I don't know.
Yeah, some of them, of course. Yeah, there are weird people out there.
No, just I don't know, man. Like
their parents were just you don't like, have oh, to, yeah, you that don't was, have that to
be
that good.
Good at anything to fucking, like, be famous for it. Like, that's not how it was. It's not how it fucking should be, dude. Like, it's crazy to me that the world is, like, just patting fucking mediocrity, like, on the back because, like, in the name of, like, a universal, we're all the same. We're all the same level special. And it's like, that's not fucking true, man.
No.
That's not true. I listened to this whole thing about, it was kind of like anti-fucking, what's his name? Mr. Rogers, where they were like, yo, that message fucked up a whole generation of people, where they're like, yo, everybody's special. Everybody's this. And I was like, you know what? I think he was just going from like the raw personhood. People are special. You know what I mean? But you can generalize it and just, no. But, and they're talking about creativity. And they're like, we tell every fucking kid how creative they are nowadays. And it's like, it's simply not fucking true. Not everybody's creative. You know how many adults I know think they're fucking creative? And I talk to them about their art. And like, I'm not an artist by any means, but I know what the fuck I'm looking at. I have a good eye for shit. Like, I get why things work out, if that makes sense. And when I'm looking at people's shit, I'm just like, this wouldn't work out. You know what I mean? Like, this, you're not fucking great. Like, this is, okay. And it sounds like Bah Humbug fucking super negative, but I just think like that because I feel like it's what I've talked about before where we brought up Liz's friend who did hair and she wanted to do like that life because it was artistic, it was creative. You can make a lot of money doing it. And she like forced herself into that industry. And when she finally got out of it and she started doing like accounting, she was like, bro, I fucking love numbers. I love spreadsheets. I love trying to find the difference. When they show me accounts that need fucking like lining up, I get excited. And it's like, you could have been focusing on that for the last 12 years and being a decade ahead of your current career. Mm-hmm. If you would have just been honest with yourself and being like, I'm not made for this. It's like stage people. It's like, maybe you're not supposed to be on fucking stage, man. Maybe you should have been in the back. Maybe you should have been a writer or you held the fucking light or something. Mm-hmm. But we tell everybody that they're made for the stage. And it's like, that's a fucking mistake, bro.
Well, the people doing the lighting and all that stuff are just as important as the person that's on the stage.
Yeah, for sure. But people
wants to hold the boom mic. They want to be the one with the mic in their hand.
Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy. That's why I love guys like Mike Rowe that are like, hey, man, the boom guy makes a lot of fucking money. Yeah. And he's got the same kind of freedoms, and he's got the same, you know what I mean? It's like,
you know what's weird is I've always sort of wanted to kind of be famous, but I've never wanted like the blowback or, you know, like the pressure that comes with it. And that's kind of, you know, like why one reason why I sort of started rapping that, and kind of because like I realized that most of my raps kind of sucked, you know, like I'd have some that were dope, but I would rather be the person that helps my friend that has real talent. You know what I mean? I'd rather help them become famous and do their thing than me be the one in the spotlight.
Yeah, you know what's funny about
that? Have you ever noticed that about...
Like, yeah, of course, bro. Fucking, I've always thought of myself as like, I would never want to be like the top dude, but I always thought I would be a good number two.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
really,
me too.
Like, decent advice, here. And I'll keep you sharp, but I don't want to be on the fucking camera, dude.
Yeah, like, maybe like here and there, you know, like, so people, like, just...
So you're okay with being Flavor Flav instead of Chuck D?
Oh, yeah, all day.
No, I'm okay being one of the fucking four guys on the side table of the McAfee show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those guys don't say much. They're not. Right. It's not called the fucking homies show. It's the Pat McAfee show.
But everybody knows him.
He's the guy. Like, I'll be the guy with the fucking beard behind the glass. That shit does not bother me.
They do have their own podcast, though.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
That's actually the type of person that I'd want to be. I'd rather be the person that helps the person with the most talent. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just being authentic to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, going back to that example, it's like, no, I'm creative. I'm an artist. I'm a hairstylist. It's like, you know what? You're fucking not, though. Not really. It's like when people, I always felt like that in LA when people are like, oh, I went to LA to be an artist. I was like, you can be a goddamn artist anywhere on the fucking planet.
You could have stayed in Topeka, Kansas.
Will was always my example that I'd always say, I was like, I know a guy right now that does art all fucking day. In his garage, he's got this roll of canvas. All the oils you've ever fucking seen, and he doesn't do it for anybody, bro. He just gets up and he does his thing and he does his thing and he does his thing. I was like, to me, that's an artist. Like, that guy in his spirit is a fucking artist. And then there's some people that have none of the talent, but all this like ambition to be considered. I'm an artist. You're Brandon, fucking not, though.
You know who Stop that reminds it. Me of? That reminds me of Marshall. Because he has so much shit, and I always beg him to put it out and, you know, do something with it. But he's like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. Like, he doesn't want to ever put any of his shit out. And he is one of the most talented rappers I've ever heard in my life.
He's a super prolific writer. Like, ever since we were kids, he's always had five or six. I write a lot. Like, now that I'm older and I watch, like, adults and shit, it's like, yeah, no, dude, you write, like, a lot. Like, there's not a lot of adults that, for no reason, you know what I mean? Like, it's not part of, like, the fucking part of my paycheck by any means. But, like, for how many adults sit down with a pen and paper or at their laptop and just write their shit? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's always been like a level up where it's like he's always had so much writing going on, different kinds too. You know what I mean?
He does it every single night. He sits, his
stories, his songs,
his
poetry. It's like the dude he's a fucking writer.
But he never wants to put any of it out.
That's why I was never like confident. I never like calling him like a front man or a rapper or any. Even on the podcast when he was on, I was like, I always just considered you like a writer. Like, you're a fucking writer. A real one, too. The kind I'm talking about. Not like, you hear kids talk like that all the time. Like, I'm going to be a writer. You're going to be, I've never seen you write one fucking thing in your fucking life. Like, what are you talking about? If you have the balls to say out loud, I'm a writer, that better be a good portion of your fucking day with or without money.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the title that you want to push out to everybody, so you know, whatever kind like of value you get of like, off I'm of a that plumber title.
Or something like that.
Yeah, because you don't want to say that I'm a plumber or I'm a dispatcher or I'm a fucking whatever the fuck boring stupid job that you don't want to be. You want to put on this idea that you're this other thing. It's like, you're fucking not, though. So focus on what the fuck you're doing and be great at that, or find something that you're good at, because you're not good at this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I think this era of kids that are growing up, I think they all, like, I mean, there were some kids when we were growing up, you know, that they had the idea of, you know, being famous or whatever. But I think, it's exponentially grown. Like, I think, like, 90% of the kids now all just want to be famous, like TikTok famous. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the accessibility of it is so much different. Before, there's just TV and movies and music. Those are, like, the three things that you, like, kind of, like, divided, you know what I mean?
Well, because it's in their reach now. Like, they can see that they can do it themselves now.
Bro, yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, there's either TV shows where there was, like, this big, giant production, and you had to do this and do that. Like, you could tell that there's a lot to do to get in the game. Even when you're a kid, you, like, see movies and premieres and fucking award shows, and it was, like, a big deal. You knew you had to break into something. Now it's like, oh, I just need my fucking phone. Yeah, and I can do my little videos and I can be famous.
I think that's,
of course that's what I'm going to do. Why would I be a banker? Why would I be a fucking stucco guy? Why would I be a fucking truck driver?
Hey, and
I can just pull out my phone and do my videos.
10, 15 years from now, that's going to be the leading cause of depression.
That their TikTok career didn't pan out?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to cause...
See, but the it's funny because, like, I watch TikTok and you can tell who the older people are by the content, because just like Brandon mentioned, why would I work my stucco job when I can do TikTok? The older people are doing their stucco jobs
on TikTok. Yeah.
You know, and they're actually building their business that way.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
But one thing I wanted to mention is that there's something that concerns me sometimes with Monique, because, like, she'll get into this phase where she wants to play guitar, but then, like, a couple weeks later, I want to learn how to play the drums, or, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's a $200 longboard sitting right there.
Yeah.
But that's kid, like, shit to me.
No, but, like, you know, but it's like, while she's in, like, but it's like, honey, like, you're great at fucking singing.
Stick
to that. You know, I do like her kind of getting into more of the engineering side, like the production side of music, you know, because I think that can just help her understand her brand of music more.
Right, and it'll be easier for her to.
Yeah, but when she talks about, like, wanting to learn piano and wanting, you know, to do this and this, it's like, don't lose focus of, you know,
right.
of like what so far has gotten you to where you want to be.
And also, when you, if she wants
to learn, love you though, baby, do whatever you want.
If she wants, if she wants to learn guitar, take a year to perfect the guitar before you go and move on to something else like learning the piano.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's not even going to take a year to perfect it.
No, but don't jump so quick to the next instrument before you've mastered the one that you want to. You know what I'm saying?
But because, it's not even like jumping. It's like just a switch. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's like last week you wanted to play guitar. Now you want to play the drums.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's good because that shows that that shows that, you know, she's dedicated. You know, and that she really wants it, but. You got to stick to one thing before you move on to the next. Do you know what I mean?
That was a big part of a old leadership book that I read where his whole thing was like kind of counterintuitive to what you would think, where you hear most advice being something along the lines of someone you walk into a room and he's super duper good at math, but he's shitty at English. And you're like, okay, well, I guess we'll put the bulk of our study time on English so you can kind of like even out your skill set. And this leadership book was like, dude, fuck that. If you're good at math, then get super good at math. Like,
right.
If you want to be successful, you need to be elite at something. Like, jack of all trades, master of none. Like, that's a diss for a reason. It's so funny. You hear people say that now. When I was a kid, that wasn't a high five.
No.
That wasn't a thumbs up like, oh, he's a jack of all trades. Like, that was like, oh, yeah, he's sort of...
a master of none.
He's a little good at everything and shit at most. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't mean the same thing that I hear people say it with nowadays. I really think that that definition is like, come off a little different. But
right. Especially nowadays.
I thought that leadership book was funny because I was like, I wonder how true that is. And he was talking under, like, more of a business, like, landscape, you know what I mean? Like, if you're good at sales and communication, dude, don't be like, okay, well, I got to learn the technical side of the business, too. Fuck that. You become the fucking illest salesman that
and has ever... And then you could hire somebody.
Well, yeah, because then you're elite, and now you have this fucking... Now you've shown your worth at such a level where you become irreplaceable.
Right.
You know what's funny is I mentioned during the podcast we did with Jovi and Lizzie how my parents like destroyed my self-confidence when I was young.
Yeah.
The reason I got into sales jobs and jobs where I would have to like face and interact with people is because I wanted to like break out of that rut.
Right of what? What do you mean?
Because, like, my mom and dad, like, when I was growing up, like, it was never, like, hey, like, I want to do this. And, like, the example I brought up was, like, Brandon and Liz. You know, when Bobby says, like, she wants to do something, they're all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I would have said the same thing when I was young, like, why would you want to do that? You can't do that. So I grew up feeling like no matter what I wanted to do, it wouldn't be good enough.
Never, it wasn't accepted. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I got into, you know, especially like sales jobs, and the reason that I put so much effort into being good at them is because I wanted to prove to myself, like, I can fucking do this. Not only can I do this, I'm fucking good. Great at it.
Yeah, so, yeah, giving yourself, like, the self, you know, like, finding something that you're good at so that you can, you know, be happy with yourself.
It's like putting yourself in a position to grow.
And yeah. I think that's what causes my depression is that I haven't found something that I want to do that I could be good at. Because there's a lot of things that I could be good at. It's just I haven't found what I want to do yet. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know why you haven't taken one of these mics home and just do fucking 20 minutes about hip-hop every day. Organize yourself around that, man. It's all you do anyways, bro.
I know.
Like, so just organize it and then present it.
You have a Mac, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a Mac.
Does it have like a full size USB port?
No, it's a fucking Apple, dude. So
it's a USB-C.
They got the weird, stupid little fucking like. I need a connection to connect a USB port into it.
Okay, I'm gonna send you home. I have a Snowball mic in the room with an adapter. Fucking do something with it.
Okay.
Find your voice, Brian.
Right. We're gonna skip on the Led Zeppelin.
Brian couldn't name two fucking Led Zeppelin songs, so.
Oh yeah, and about Tash, we had the battle and then we had the fight, so it just didn't make sense for Tash to come in this week. So I talked to him, and Tash said, next week.
So, catastrophe.
So we'll have Tash on next week.
Fun.
Before we go, I did have one more. Actually, it's a listener question from a good friend of mine.
Okay.
And.
Oh, yeah. By the way, before you say that, please, questions. We want questions, you know.
Dude at fununcle.net.
Or at @fununcle_ for Instagram.
Or you just, I have an actual fucking email.
Yeah, emails work better. So what's the question?
The question was about manscaping.
Okay.
Right? And the reason it came, like, we had talked about my personal preference.
Okay.
For women, right? I love a bald kitty.
Wow.
I don't mind if there's hair, but it has to be groomed.
It's got to be groomed right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
the same way.
Like, I'm not trying to have a fucking jungle, like, in my face, like, when I'm down there.
Yeah. Like, not the, it, like it can't be like an untamed beard. Like, it's got to be like a beard, like, you know what I mean? Like, some, like, a little taken care of.
Like those Iranian guys.
Yeah. Like Dan Balzerian, you know.
So when it comes to yourselves,
uh-huh,
how often do you guys take care down there?
It's not like a regularity thing. It's just whenever I feel like it just gets too nasty.
It's funny because I remember in high school it being like part of the shower.
Yeah,
like it was part of the fucking day, like cleaning that area and making it like. Like trimming, you know what
for
I mean?
For me,
yeah.
For me, it's
it was a lot more often younger.
It was part of like the get ready. Now I don't even fucking look anymore.
For me, it's when
you know
it's when it starts like irritating, like you know, like when it gets to a certain length, like a certain part of the length of my dick, you know, like
when I don't know,
like when it starts getting annoying, like that old meme around, fucking, and then like when you try to move it around, like you know, with your fingers or whatever, like it kind of like tugs on the hairs, and it just kind of like, oh man, this is annoying, like you know what I mean, like you know how like if you tug your hair, it just like kind of hurts a little bit, like when it gets to that point where like I'm like sleeping and I'm kind of like trying to like move my dick in a position to make it comfortable, I start feeling the hairs, I'm just like, all right, it's time for a little shave now. That's when I shave.
See, like, with me, like, I'm not naturally hairy anyway,
mm-hmm,
so I can trim down there, and I'm good for, like a few months.
Yeah, I can go like a month or two without it. But, yeah, there's definitely a limit where I can tell, you know, where it needs to be done, you know? Like, when I start messing with it, I'm just like, and it just starts tugging. I'm just like, man.
I always kind of like knew when I was going to fucking smash. You know what
that
I mean?
Too.
Like,
I always knew, I was like,
hey, you better fucking,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that too. If I know
so,
I'm going to
okay, so
hard thing, to get a chick to lick your sack when it's fucking covered in yeah, fucking dog hair.
So funny thing about that, right? When I hooked up with my porn star friend for my birthday.
Woohoo! Get it!
I used that machine from that company that was trying to sponsor us, but like,
oh, the fucking like, Manscaping.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm not going to mention them because their fucking products sucked. But
what'd you get cut?
Yes.
Oh, that's the worst.
And like, I was like, yeah, I saw a little blood. I was like, okay, whatever, you know, wash the hair off, blah blah blah.
The only good thing is that it really only hurts for about a day. That's a good thing, unless it goes deep.
Okay, but that day was the day I was fucking smashing.
Oh, no.
It was like 2 hours before.
Was it the ball sack or was it like around it was, like
it was, the it was the it was the lower shaft.
That part? That's the hardest part to get.
And like
that's where the cuts happened.
Yeah.
The base, like, homie, the base.
You know, like I said, like I saw blood, I was like, okay, whatever, little blood.
You need three hands to get that part.
You do.
To get that part, you need three hands.
But you know, then I'm like, you know, I finished my shower, I had just like, you know, shaved my head, whatever. And I'm washing down there, and like as I go to like rinse my fucking hand off, I notice like I'm still fucking bleeding.
Damn.
Like, what the fuck?
So anyway, you do it before. Go ahead.
So like, you know, okay, so I rinse off, right? And like I wait a little bit, I rinse off the rest of my body and I check again. Still fucking bleeding.
What?
I was like, what?
Dude, the blood's usually done when you get out the shower.
Yeah. And that's because it wasn't like, because it was just like a little you know?
Right.
Like, didn't think it was that fucking deep.
Fuck no. So she probably thought you had some sort of fucking hurt.
Dude, I was like, you ever watch those fucking, those like sheep fucking guys?
Yeah.
Like hella fast and it's like really clean. And I was like, dude, I got real good at that shit, dude.
Do you do it?
Boom, fucking in and out.
Do you do it before you get in the shower? Or
yes.
Yeah, you have to because it's got to be.
Well, I do it in the shower, like standing in the shower.
Yeah, so it goes down the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, well, I'm not missing this date. Fuck it.
You know what? When you clip your fingers,
she didn't say anything, so I assumed the bleeding stopped.
Or she just thought it was her. But do you ever clip your fingernails and sometimes you just go flying?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever fucking seen a fingernail?
Yes.
Like,
I'll be cleaning my room and it's like, oh, there that is, like a month later.
Bro, Liz finds my fingernails. She fucking hates it, bro.
I never find my fingernails that go flying ever, dude.
It's like never. My old boss said, how many pigeons did you see on the way to work here? I was like, a bunch. He goes, how come there ain't a bunch of dead? What happens to birds when they die?
Where
the fuck are they? Where do all these birds go to die? Like, think about it for a second. You think the fucking roads would be like riddled with fucking dead birds. Like, what happens? Where do they go?
They probably die in the nest.
Where the fucking fingernails go?
Yeah.
You ever get nervous when you see like a bird like flying? Like, they're flying at your car and they go under.
And it's
you're just like, oh.
I wonder if you
made it.
I wonder if they do that to have fun, like dolphins jumping out of water. Right. You know what I mean? Like, oh, like they're just
challenging their homies. Like, yeah. I got this charger coming.
Yeah.
Whoop.
Yeah, dude. It's
dude. They probably get so much air from it. Happens. I bet. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine being a bird, just like fucking going, just whoop, just flying off of.
You don't want to be the homie that mistimes it though.
Oh no! You're screwed.
Because then you're like, ba-doom. What the fuck was that?
That's probably why you don't see much, because like it's probably like the two daredevil pigeons that you always see doing it. You
know, it's the same one.
It's the same ones.
They've been doing it the longest. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. We will be back next week with Cash from the Alcoholics, and we'll all have our Led Zeppelin lists.
Nirvana. Oh yeah, sorry.
This fucking guy.
Oh my god. I do want to do like a grunge list though.
We should because everybody's grunge list is going to be fucking Nirvana, and we're going to show the kids something different.
I wish they didn't have copyright laws so that I could like listen to them and get my reaction. You know what I'm saying? Since I didn't really like listen to that music growing up, you know.
We've
talked about it before about Brian doing a Tool thing.
10, you know what I mean? Like, and be like, here, fuck the nieces
and then nephews. and then have my reaction to the ones that you guys gave me.
Teaching your phone Uncle Cooney about grunge.
Yeah. Teach me about the grunge, and then I could go home and then I could go listen to the songs and then record my reaction to them.
That's funny.
Yeah, we can do that.
Or we could just do it here. We can even do it here after.
But we're going to get out of here.
All right, guys.
Because it's fucking midnight, and I got to be at work in like 7 hours. Catch y'all later.
Bye.